Okay, please open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And we'll just be in this one chapter tonight. And verses 1 through 6 talk about the fact that the Ark of the Covenant is now finally set up in the tabernacle in Jerusalem. So they brought the Ark of God and set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had finished the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he distributed to everyone of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. And he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. And then verse 6 says that Benaiah and Jehaziel, the priests, regularly blew the trumpets before the Ark of the Covenant of God. Well, this is one of the greatest events in Israel's history, at least up to this point in time. They had finally set up the tabernacle in Jerusalem. They finally got the Ark of the Covenant, which had been in another location, there in that tabernacle, right exactly where God wanted it. And they also did all of this with a highly favored king. It just seems like everyone at that point in the nation favored David. They had waited, you know, for somewhere around 400 years for this to happen. Do you realize that? You know, we talk about David and Moses, and we throw all these names around like they all lived together. But David was separated from the exodus out of Egypt. You know, for I know there's an exact number you can get, but we'll just say it's around 400 years. That's a long time. And it makes sense, then, that they would offer peace offerings and burnt offerings, that David blessed the people in the name of God, that David gave a gift to everyone, that David appointed Levites to minister before the ark with the purpose of commemorating, thanking, and praising the Lord, and that they played music. I mean, this was a great time. It was a great time of celebration. It was just a magnificent event for the nation of Israel. And then Ezra added there at verse 6 that David set it up to where there were two priests blowing the trumpets regularly there at the tabernacle, which I think is just fascinating. And seeing now where it was located, how it was on one side of a hill of a valley, I'm sure that the blowing of this trumpet was heard throughout that whole area and not just in the temple grounds area or tabernacle grounds area. Then, verses 7 through 36, Ezra tells us about a psalm that David had written. He showed us a psalm that David had written for the event, and he wanted Asaph to use it to thank the Lord. Verse 7 says, On that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. Now, I discovered something really interesting about this psalm. David did either one of two things. Either number one, he took parts of other psalms and combined them into one, or he had this one psalm first, and then he broke off parts later and used them to build other psalms. And I have that written on the board here, okay? So, verses 8 to 22 is actually Psalm 105, 1 through 15. Verses 23 to 33 is actually Psalm 96. He skips verse 1, verses 9 through 10. He starts halfway in verse 10 and then goes to halfway through verse 13. He took the first half of verse 10 and that's what we have as our second half of verse 30 in 1 Chronicles 16. Okay, you following that now? Okay. And then verse 34 is taken from Psalms 106 verse 1, 107 verse 1, 118 verse 1, and 136 verse 1. And of course, you just heard Brian read that one. And then, as far as I can tell, the last two verses, 35 and 36, are original with this psalm. I don't see where he took it from any other psalm or where he used it to build another psalm. So I just thought that was kind of interesting. So let's read 8 through 22 right now. And think about what they've just been through, and think about the bad history that they had with... Did I not have my mic? Okay, it's on now. I turned it on. Sorry. So I didn't have a mic when I was over here. Could you all hear me good enough? Okay. All right. So it should be on now. All right. Pardon? Okay. So maybe the battery's dead or something. All right. I'll make sure I stay behind this. Okay. 8 through 22. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing psalms to Him. Talk of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O seed of Israel, His servant, you children of Jacob, His chosen ones, He is the Lord God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember His covenant forever, the word which He commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which He made with Abraham and His oath to Isaac and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. When you were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it, and when they went from one nation to another and from one kingdom to another people, He permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, He rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. So, notice all the things that David told us to do in verses 8 through 11. He said, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds. Twice he said, sing to the Lord. Talk of His wondrous works, glory in His name. And twice he said, to seek the Lord. Then verse 12 just kind of summarized all seven of those actions with, remember His marvelous works. And you'll notice that this is not just for Israel, okay? As verse 14 announces, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth, not just the land of Canaan. So whatever He does in the world now, I think we can say He's still doing it for His chosen ones. Maybe that's hard for us to comprehend because we don't see how that's the case. I mean, you turn on the news, you read the newspaper, wherever your news source is, and the church just isn't prominent. But what we need to realize is that God manipulates things for the advantage of His church, for the advantage of evangelism and good works. That's what it's all about. I really would encourage you to look at all news events as God somehow having a part in it, and that He wants us to have a part in doing a good work. And ultimately, the greatest good work we can do for people is evangelism. So He said the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, then with Isaac, and finally with Jacob, or who is also known as Israel. The Lord made that covenant when the numbers of Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were small, when they were less than 70. And while they're strangers in a different land, or even in their own land that would later be their own land. And David implied that the Lord kept His covenant. I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give it to you through your descendants. So that kind of leaves it wide open for when He wants to do it. But He did it. And the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did inherit the land. And they lived there for a long time. So this, what He's saying here applies to all peoples, verse 8, and to all the earth, verse 14. What happened in Jerusalem when they set up that tabernacle in the place where they did, And when they put that Ark of the Covenant in there, we need to pay attention to that. Because all of that, as you may know, is simply a copy of the original stuff that's in heaven. Someday we're going to see the actual temple of God in heaven. Someday we're going to see the actual Ark of the Covenant. John saw it in the book of Revelation. And we need to understand just how important all that is for us as Christians. So he says they lived in different kingdoms and nations that occupied the land, and even when they went into other lands, like going down into Egypt when Abraham went down there, and of course later Jacob goes down there, and no one ever hurt them. Some tried, but they didn't succeed. One time, Abraham even led a little war. He had 400 men who worked with him, but they were not only shepherds and herdsmen, but they were evidently also trained for war, because they had to go fight several kings to retrieve Lot and his family and a bunch of other people and things. So he came out of that successfully. And as you probably know, Jacob also had problems with his uncle, who was his father-in-law. But all three of them came out of every situation in life victorious. And so it is with Christians. One nation after another has persecuted the church, and we're in all the different nations of the earth. But every single one of those persecuting nations is either gone or has adopted, in some form, Christianity. And so the church continues to spread all over the earth, and the church will be here long after whatever nations are on the earth now are gone, unless the Lord chooses to come now. Okay, so we continue in the psalm, verses 23 through 33. And again, you can look at the board, and you can actually turn to Psalm 96 if you want, and you can jump along in Psalm 96 and you'll see how it's the same. So here it is. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. What a contrast, okay? 27. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples, more than just Israel. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring Him offering and come before Him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad, and let them say among the nations. And so here we are in the United States of America. I'm going to say what he said next. The Lord reigns. He reigned in ancient Israel, He reigns in modern Israel, and He reigns in the United States of America in the year 2021. Let the sea roar and all its fullness. Let the field rejoice and all that is in it. Then the trees of the woods shall rejoice before the Lord, for He is coming to judge the earth. So what do you think David expected us to do? Sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, all you of earth, he said. So I repeat, it's not just Israel, but what we were just doing a few moments ago, and we'll do, what, two more times before we're done tonight, we're going to do exactly what David said we should do. We're singing to the same exact God. And with Israel now having its capital established in Jerusalem, history was just getting closer and closer to that time when Israel would deliver to the world our Savior, Jesus of Nazareth. So that's why we should be singing these things here. He says, sing a new song to Him. It's okay to sing old songs, but it's okay to learn new songs too. I think God likes to hear us sing new songs. Right away in verse 24, we learn that this was not about Israel alone. This psalm and its truths go beyond those who lived under the law of Moses. Why sing the Lord? Why sing a new song to Him? Why bless His name? Why proclaim the good news of His salvation? Why declare His glory and His wonders to the world? David said, it's because God is great. But I thought to myself, somehow that's just an understatement because we say America's great. In fact, I can say a lot of things are great. And then I can say God is great. But maybe just by the passage of time or whatever it is, all the things that we say are great eventually fall, or just they're no longer around for whatever reason, and so they're no longer great. But God just always remains great. He's as great today as He was when David wrote this psalm and when Asaph took it and put music to it and they played it at the tabernacle. And I don't know how long time will go. If it goes another 10 years, 1,000 years, 10,000 years, our God will still be just as great then as He is today and as He was in the days of David. Truly, God is great. So sing to the Lord because David said, He is to be feared above all gods. All the gods of the peoples, he said, are mere idols, whereas the Lord made the heavens. And I'm sorry when I read that earlier and I chuckled, but it cracks me up. How could anyone worship some wood or a stone that's been carved into something or whatever people worship? Did it create the heavens? No, in fact, it was created by a man. But God created the heavens and everything that's in it, including this earth and all the people that are on it. Well, that's a good reason to see why He's great. So sing to Him because honor and majesty are before Him. Sing to Him because strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. David said, give to the Lord, and here the Bible speaks not only of Israel, but all the families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. He has glory and strength without us. It's not like He gets the glory and the strength when we ascribe it to Him. But we're just acknowledging what the truth is, what has always been the truth. And finally, we catch up to the truth and say, yeah, you know what? I've discovered this is the truth. And this is what we do when we assemble. And on every first day of the week, we bring an offering to Him. And worship our God. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness because He is a holy God. And I think if you can do that, you will then see the beauty of holiness and you'll see the beauty of our God. In fact, tremble before Him, and not just Israel, but may all the earth and certainly the church tremble before God. David went on to say, let the nations know that the Lord reigns. We may think trouble and uncertainty reigns in our day today. But, you know, when all the troubles that our country is dealing with right now, 10 years from now, we probably won't even remember them. I know that probably sounds crazy, but you know why we'll remember them? Won't remember them 10 years from now? Because there'll be some other wild things going on. It's always been that way. We can go back in time and just see how many crazy times that have gone on during our lifetimes and during the lifetime of our nation and certainly during the lifetime of the church. And no matter how crazy those things are, they eventually pass and the church moves on and does great things. And as David said in verse 30, the Lord reigns because He has established the earth firmly. It doesn't matter what controversies are going on, the earth still spins around on its axis. It still goes around the sun. It still does everything that it's supposed to do, regardless of all the things that trouble us. So truly, though, he said, the time will arrive when He will move the world, the earth, and then He shall judge the peoples righteously. The Lord's reign and His establishment of the world, verses 30 to 32, He's holding it all together until He comes and judges the world. Again, we have no idea when that's coming, but it's coming. Once today is over, we're one day closer to that time that David prophesied of right there. And after tomorrow is gone, One day down, God knows how many days are left. And so he said here that that time, in the anticipation of that time, when he judged the world, should bring rejoicing to the heavens, rejoicing to the sea, rejoicing to the earth, and in everything that's on the earth and in the seas, to the field and everything in it, to all the trees of the woods. So in other words, all of creation, above us, around us, and below us, has always reacted to man and to the Lord, and how man reacts to the Lord. And here David is talking about that same thing again. So David repeated what is coming, as he showed in verse 33, that all of creation will rejoice when the Creator judges man. And I think in Romans chapter 8, Paul just picked up on that, and he talked about the fact that the earth, all of creation, is actually groaning, waiting for that day to come. Because it was by man's sin that the earth has been subjected to corruption. And by that I mean decay and the breakdown of things, how it goes. And so the earth was made by God, and evidently the earth knows that. And it's waiting. When is he going to release me from the bondage of corruption to which I've been subjected? That's Romans chapter 8. Then the third part of this psalm is where he used, as I mentioned, there are Psalms 106, 107, 118, and 136, verse 1 of all of those psalms. He said this now in verse 34 of 1 Chronicles 16, 34. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. In fact, if you want to, turn over to Psalm 136, and you will notice, I've forgotten how many verses are in that psalm, maybe 24 or something like that. The first line of every verse says, or maybe it's the second line of every verse, says that the Lord's mercy endures forever. The second line of our verse 34 is the second line of every verse in Psalm 136. He just says it over and over again. He gives you a reason, and then he says, you know, the reason that's true, that what he mentions there, is because the Lord's mercy endures forever. It's really beautiful. If you think on all the wonders that God did for Israel, that he's done for the church, and he's done for you, shouldn't that move us to give thanks to him? I wonder how many of us, if not all of us, should not be here right now, but God has saved us from death. We know he has saved us from his sin. I mean, boy, that's a bad mistake, just like I made a bad one this morning. He has saved us from our sin, and the wages of sin is death, so I should be dead just because of my sin, but I'm not. I'm here, you're here. And how many other physical deaths has he saved us from? How many times was it that you should have been T-boned out in the car by a semi-truck? Or you've gotten sick and other people have died from it, but you didn't. You know, how many times has he saved us? Just look for reasons. Just scan the history of your life. And see if you can see how many times God has saved you in some way or blessed you in some way. Excuse me. So he is good, and it is obvious that his mercy endures forever. Otherwise, I just think we could all say we would not be here right now. David recognized the Lord's goodness and mercy by the fact that he had brought Israel out of Egypt to establish them as their own nation, in their own land, with their own king, and now with their own place of worship. And David recognized all four of those things, and that's why he wrote this psalm, and why he's telling Israel and he's telling the world, praise the Lord for this. Fourth, as I have on the board over here, verses 35 and 36, from what I could tell, that's just original to this psalm here. So David finished the psalm by saying, save us, O God, of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said, amen. And praise the Lord. To which I think we can also say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, very good. Likewise, let us say to God that He delivers us from the Gentiles. We usually think of Jew and Gentiles being an Old Testament thing, but even in the New Testament, Paul refers to those outside the church as the Gentiles. And the various Gentiles of the world have tried their hardest to stamp the church out of existence. But as I've said to you many times before, here we are, and all our persecutors have gone down, and the church is being persecuted in various places of the earth right now. And those places will eventually fall, and the church will shine. So by their false doctrine, their false ideas, their temptations, the one that really upsets me is their pulling of our young people away from the church. We need to praise God when God keeps that from happening and young people in the church and new Christians in the church remain faithful to the Lord. Okay, let's look at verses 37 through 43, the end of this chapter, where it talks about endless worship of the Lord. So he left Asaph and his brothers there before the ark of the covenant of the Lord to minister before the ark regularly as every day's work required. And Obed-Edom with his 68 brethren, including Obed-Edom the son of Jeduthun and Hosa to be gatekeepers, and Zadok the priest and his brethren the priests, before the tabernacle of the Lord at the high place that was at Gibeon, to offer burnt offerings to the Lord and on the altar of burnt offering regularly morning and evening, and to do according to all that is written in the law of the Lord which he commanded Israel. And with them Heman and Jeduthun and the rest who were chosen, who were designated by name to give thanks to the Lord because his mercy endures forever. Just love the way David has to slip that in there. And with him Heman and Jeduthun to sound aloud with trumpets and cymbals and the musical instruments of God. Now the sons of Jeduthun were gatekeepers. Then all the people departed, every man to his house, and David returned to bless his house. So David set in order the work that was associated with the tabernacle. David was just, he was a multi-talented man. You remember the parable of the talents? There was one man who had 10 talents, another who had 5, another had 1. And I think David was that 10 talent man. God just enabled him to do so many things. We know he was the top warrior in Israel in those days. Here he is serving as a leader, as the king of the nation. The guy writes music and he plays musical instruments. He knew how to organize and set things in order. That's what he did with the priests and the worship. David, I think David was really an amazing man. Outside of Jesus Christ, he's my favorite biblical character. I just think, wow, I'd like to be like this man, except for the ways in which he stumbled and fell, of course. Anyways, verse 40 says that they did their work morning and evening. They did their work according to all that was written in the law of the Lord. They gave thanks to the Lord because, as I mentioned there, David just had to slip in there that the Lord's mercy endures forever. Here David is about, well, I think he's about 37 years of age because he became king at 30. He was at Hebron for the first 7 years. Now they've moved to Jerusalem. So he's already fought a lot of battles. I mean, you know about Goliath. And he knows the Lord has been merciful to him. So he just can't overemphasize. I think David cannot overemphasize praising, thanking, and commemorating the Lord because of His endless mercy. And so they played music loud, and then they all went home. Have you ever been in the midst of a band when they're playing, as opposed to hearing it on your stereo system or something? It's just so much louder, so much deeper and richer, and you hear so many more sounds, and it's just a great experience. And that's what they have there. They didn't have these big speakers set up where they were piping it in from a CD being played or something. It was just in person, and it was just a magnificent experience. So that's 1 Chronicles chapter 17, and I can't wait to get into the next two chapters with you. Lord willing, next week we'll look at chapter 17 and 18. So right now, if you do have some kind of need, something you'd like us to pray for on your behalf, you can come forward now as we stand and sing.